Looking for something to represent your sport, but you don't want to look like another mall rat wannabe? Then head on over to TapperSleep.com. Tapper Sleep has serious gear for serious fighters and serious fans. While other fightwear companies spend their money on a big bus and funny costumes, Tapper Sleep spends theirs on their clothes, giving you stylish, durable gear that'll hold up under the toughest conditions. Whether you're rolling on the mats or rolling down the street, Tapper Sleep has a wide selection of t-shirts, hoodies, and hats for men or women. So head on over to TapperSleep.com right now and get your gear today. Tapper Sleep. Seriously. Good. Fightwear.
So surprised, the qualities you openly have advertised. A bigger man might not feel quite so compromised, but I've never been a saint and I won't start
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Rear Naked Radio, your weekly MMA review show right here at rearnakedradio.net. I am Paul Scorchlo, my co-hosts Irish Derek Kenny and Jeff Shooter Graham, who is on location from George St. Pierre's basement this moment as we speak. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
I feel pretty sad, man, because GSP just told me he was not very impressed with my performance.
I'm doing fantastic, guys.
All right. Well, we got a big show today, not maybe as big as the last one where we had 55 people to interview.
Yeah, this time we just got us.
Yes, just us, and we'll be going over the big UFC on Versus card. We'll be touching on the Dream card that took place, and of course, previewing a little card called UFC 111 coming up. Jersey, GSP Hardy, Aaron Carwin. Other people I'm fighting are sure. Yeah, I don't know. I can't talk today.
Okay. So,
whatever.
All right.
Well, we're going to have to mix things up a little bit today because obviously Shooter is not in front of his computer, so he does not have that to rely on to run the sack. Kenny is going to be... Kenny, you're going to be responsible for digging up news, and we're going to make wise-ass remarks at him.
This is really disturbing for all you people I know... kind of breaking the fourth wall here. Yes, I don't walk around just knowing everything about MMA. I actually have to look it up on the
Some
internet.
Some poor bastard. I'm like, what?
Yeah, what? Here doesn't just know? Sorry. No, I have notes and things like that on my computer, but unfortunately, I am not at Rear Naked Radio Studio currently, and it's heartbreaking for me.
You've just ruined Rob Loney's day, Shooter.
And Shannon Hale's out there listening to us, too. Sorry about that, guys.
Oh,
the two of you, I have let you down.
I'm sorry we've let both of you down.
I'll call you both after the show and apologize.
Just got to issue a statement.
Wait, I forgot Jason Brooks listens to the show, too. The three of you. I don't care, though. Jay won't be
Yeah, but Jason Brooks will probably fall asleep halfway through.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably playing World of Warcraft or something like that. He can't be bothered.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, Derek, I've given you enough time to filibuster, so how about we get on?
What do I got? Well.
Let's hear it. That's your cue, asshole.
Welcome to the March 24th edition of the SAC.
Doesn't even know what day it is. This isn't going to be good. The March
He's off and flying. He's got the date right.
Edition.
Kinda.
It's March 24th.
Go.
Anyways, UFC has released Shannon Googerty and Elliot Marshall. Googerty, while having a 2-3 record, comes to be expected after losing to Clay Guida by via arm triangle. Elliot Marshall's had a winning record of 3-1 in the UFC, with his last loss to Vladimir...
Oh, here we go.
Matsushenko.
It's close.
Close enough.
It was good.
Good job. Not bad, man. Not bad.
No, not bad at all.
Personally, I think I understand Googerty, but I think Marshall's a load of crap. I mean, if you got a winning record...
I'd like to see you tell that to his face.
I think he's a load of crap, too.
Oh, no, I think it's a load of crap that he got cut.
Oh, no, you said you think Marshall's a load of crap.
No, Marshall's awesome. I like Marshall.
Well, he's clearly not
awesome.
Why'd
you call him a load of crap?
Okay, you know what? Never mind. I can't win.
Oh, this is fun. I like this. So exciting.
Shooter's like, I don't have to do anything. I could just sit here and make fun of him all day. I don't even need to look at a computer or screen or nothing. I just have to keep my eyes on the road. Oh, shit!
Yeah. Best show ever because it'll have my death on it. Woo-hoo.
Okay. Brandon Vera suffers 3 facial fractures. Return date unknown.
Yeah,
that was arguably the nastiest elbow I ever saw.
That was right in the old eyeball.
Yeah, I mean, you know you've thrown a hell of a strike when people start to question whether or not it should even be legal the next day.
Yeah, I mean, and literally, not everyone may have seen the fight. If you go on YouTube or UFC.com and you watch this fight, it literally sounds like he got pimp slapped across the face. It was just...
Yeah, that was...
Just... Or just rolls over, grabs his face, and like, oh, the end.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now that this debate's being brought up about elbows in MMA again, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't really agree again with the 12-6 elbows, but I'm beginning to think it's not so much the elbows, it's just Bones is just a beast. don't get ground and pound some
Bones. Jones has been outlawed from the UFC.
New rule.
Johnny
Bones Jones is not allowed to do ground and pound anymore.
Yeah.
He can only go for submissions.
Use the clinch from now on. Yeah, in fact, he's not even allowed to throw punches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, people are debating whether or not this should be used. I mean, Strikeforce doesn't use them. You know, people argue that the only, previously that the only way you could really end a fight with an elbow was to open a cut, either that or shatter somebody's face now, apparently.
Or shatter their face.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to do anything about it. If this becomes commonplace, if it happens once or twice more.
Okay, from John Jones.
No, I was going to say from other fighters, then yeah, I could actually see them making a ruling to stop it. But for right now, I don't think they're going to do anything. They'll just debate about it back and forth. And I guarantee we'll see a lot of more lower card guys throwing a lot more elbows trying to get something done.
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, I mean, many a punch has shattered an eye socket before. You know, it's not like, you know, this is a completely new thing. I mean, orbital bones have been busted before just by straight punches. So, I mean... this one's fresh in everybody's memory. It's, you know, it's pretty brutal, but, you know, that's fighting, man.
Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe, you know, Brandon Harris should talk so much smack before a fight and upset John Jones.
Maybe he should just put his hands in front of his face.
Maybe instead of saying, I don't believe the hype, just believe what you see.
Which
and,
is only
yeah,
half
well,
of what I could see before.
Yeah, which I can't. My depth perception ain't too good. No, I'm sorry, man. I got nothing against Vera, but really, the whole elbow thing is just ridiculous. It really is. Bottom line, it is a rule right now, all right? It is allowed. You're allowed to do it. So quit bitching, quit whining, people. Oh, it's brutal. It's so bad. Okay, well, you know, we could take out the grappling that breaks bones.
I was going to say, I mean, the arm bars, you know, can break a bone just as easy, you know?
Right, exactly. We can take out the grappling and slams. We can take out the awesome high kicks and stuff like that. And then basically we have boxing.
No, you can't do that because, I mean, boxing, you can bust somebody open, you can break their eyes. So they're just going to bump into each other for 15 minutes. It's going to be like a Jake O'Brien fight, actually.
Well, maybe they'll just sit there and start using 15-ounce gloves all the time now.
There we go. They got to wear sock and boppers.
That's right.
Yeah, that's really going to protect her.
Could you imagine Mandalay Silva coming in with the sock and boppers?
I'd still be afraid of the guy.
Yeah, because the facelift is quite frankly terrifying. But
all right.
Next item of business.
Dana White says we'd love to take Jake Shields.
I'd like to take him.
Yeah. Well, it depends on if they can get
where.
But Jake Shields is on the last fight of his contract, so they're feeding him to Dan Henderson right now because they want to get rid of him because he's going to go away, or they're going to have to pay him big money to stick around or whatever the deal is. We're paying more money to Dan Henderson than we can afford already, so let's get Jake's ass kicked by Dan Henderson and get rid of Jake Shields. It's such beeping, Bush League beeping, and you guys know it. They're a beeping joke. Showtime's always been a joke with their sports programming, and this is no...
Wait a minute. Strikeforce is not Showtime, though.
I know. I'm just quoting. I'm quoting.
No, but they're partnered with Showtime, though.
If Jake Shields...
He's basically saying, you know, with Elite XC and Strikeforce and, you know, the people who Showtime has dealt with in the past.
Right.
You know, but it's so funny because, like, Jake Shields just, you know, wakes up and, you know, reads the MMA news. And he's like, wow. Dana's like, yeah, they're just setting up Jake Shields to get the crap beat out. Jake's like, what the F, Dana? You know, this is his potential future boss who said, yeah, they're just feeding him to Henderson to get destroyed.
Well,
yeah, that's really endorsing your product.
See you soon, Jake!
Well, the next thing he says, if Jake Shields could pull that off, that would be incredible and good for him. He's going to
if
get
Jake Shields
paid.
Pull that off, I'll eat my whole fist!
Okay. Geez. You're going to have Dan Henderson at 185 pounds fight Jake Shields when he's really the 170-pound champion? That's how beeping up this company is, and they're our competitor. Yeah.
Whatever. This is just standard Dana grandstanding. I mean, yeah, it's a mismatch, but you know what? Shields is your 185-pound champion. He's your middleweight champion for. It's not like this is Kimbo, you know, they're feeding to Henderson. This is a legit guy. This guy's your belt holder. Henderson comes in. It's not like he needs to fight anybody to get a shot at the belt. What the hell else are they supposed to do? Yeah, it's a mismatch. Yeah, it sucks, but this Shields is the middleweight freaking champion. What are you supposed to do?
Right, exactly. You know, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Way to set the two up. He's the champ. Henderson deserves, with his pedigree, an immediate shot at the champ. I don't think anybody can dispute that. He deserves a shot more than anybody else. Anybody else in Strikeforce.
Yep.
You know, what are you going to do? Whatever. It's just more Dana shit talk.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they weren't a threat, he wouldn't be talking about him at all.
Yeah. True. That's definitely true. You don't hear him talking about King of the Cage.
He's not worried about that. He was never worried about Rumble and the Rock when they were around.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Next!
Hold on.
Sorry. There's no timeouts in the sack.
When you're on the other side, isn't there, Kenny?
Junior Dos Santos wants Cain Velasquez next. I'd like to fight Cain Velasquez, says Dos Santos. His wrestling is superior to me, and I think I can surprise him on striking. I train a lot of ground game for this fight, too. It could make some difference.
This would be interesting, and you know, this one may very well happen, depending on how the Velasquez-Nog fight turns out. I don't know. What's that?
You said Velasquez and Nog. We already saw how that one turned out.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm on the ball. That did already happen. This fight, it could definitely happen in the very near future, and it could be to determine a title contender for sure.
Yeah, it's probably the best option at this point.
Yeah, JDS has, I think no one can question he has the advantage in striking. Velasquez has some great wrestling, but you know, JDS is a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. He trains with Nog, and it's kind of interesting, you know, that he'll probably have some extra fire under his ass because this is the guy who, you know, beat up his mentor, basically. So,
yeah, very interesting. Last bit here. Anderson Silva wants to fight at heavyweight.
You can do whatever you want, Anderson.
I'm not going to be the guy to tell him no.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I'd let him go until he loses, which it might not happen ever.
He just kicks the crap out of Brock Lesnar.
That's what I'm saying, man. UFC 24, Lesnar versus Silva.
Just fold the company at that point. What's the point? Just give Anderson Silva every belt and then just fold the friggin' company. What's the point? What's the point of doing this anymore? We've clearly found the greatest fighter to have ever lived and that will ever live. There's no point in doing this anymore.
I'd still watch. Like, I would still watch Anderson Silva.
Well,
just
I mean,
break somebody.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Ed, Silva's obviously Silva's getting bored at middleweight. He's weighing his options. You know, if GSP wins this fight, actually, regardless of whether or not he wins this fight, I could see him move up to 185 in GSP's future. I think that fight will intrigue Anderson, but until that day happens, I don't think that there's going to be a lot of unless, you know, Maio upsets him, I don't think that Anderson's going to have a lot of interest in the middleweight division, so he'll just talk about every other division.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to fight at 205 because his boy Machida's the champion right now, and he doesn't want to fight Machida. He's already showed that, you know, he could almost get an immediate title shot at 205, you know, kicking the crap out of Irvin and Forrest, you know. So, yeah, I think he could fight wherever the hell he wants.
Yeah, wherever he can make weight for. I don't know, Anderson at heavyweight, I don't know what he normally walks around at, but if he's seriously talking about a move to heavyweight, I mean, I don't think Anderson walks around at 230 and cuts 50 pounds, but I don't know. The best of my knowledge, he walks probably more at around the 205, or maybe even he might be 210, but I mean, yeah, whatever.
All right, well, that's all I got for the sack.
That's all you got? All right, that wasn't too bad. What do you think, Shooter? How did he do? Shooter? Well, it looks like Shooter actually ended up getting into that car accident we were talking about earlier. Oh, yeah, he just cut right out. Oh, let me try and get him back.
Okay. Exciting radio.
Not the sack music either. Damn it, this whole show has fallen to crap.
All right. We apologize.
I don't apologize for anything. Screw you people. Bad mood today. I got a headache.
Screw the people.
I got a freaking headache.
Whoa.
Shooter, what the hell happened, man?
You hung up on me, man.
I didn't hang up on you for crap.
Yeah, you did.
You finally hit that light pole, man.
Is this what the deal is? Kenny's taking over the show, so you guys just cut me whenever you feel like it.
That's right.
That was Shooter.
All right, so what do you want to cover first? You want to cover a dream, or you want to cover UFC on Versus?
Well, let's see. The dream card, I fell asleep for. let's cover dream.
Okay.
Maybe by the time we get to UFC, I'll have actually made it back to Remix Radio Studios, where I can do it.
Okay. Bibiano Fernandez defeats Joaquim Hansen by split decision. What has to be considered an upset?
Yeah. I'd say so.
Josh Barnett defeats Mighty Mo by submission Kimura, 4 minutes, 41 seconds in round one. This was
like 3 minutes.
Yeah, this was prefaced by a brutal... I don't know if you've seen it yet, Shooter. Have you seen the fight?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah,
Kenny,
I did.
Kenny, you seen the fight?
No.
Okay, Kenny. I'm glad you said no, because let me paint the picture for you. Okay.
He's broad.
Imagine that Mighty Mo's genitals are a door.
Okay.
On the other side of the door is Josh Barnett's grandmother being viciously and brutally beaten by Tim Sylvia. Hey, and you're Josh Barnett. You got to get to the other side of that door, but it's locked, right? You got to kick that shit in, and you kick it with all your might, and that was the low blow that poor Mahimo had to suffer. Oh, God.
I've never heard a better analogy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was, brutal. Poor Mo was writhing around for about 5 to 10 minutes, more than the 5 minutes that was supposed to be allowed. But the Dream exec, yep. You know, the Dream head honchos obviously didn't want the fight to end like that. So despite the fact that Mo was like, no, please don't make me fight anymore. They're like, we'll give you a couple more minutes. Enough time for the Yakuza to get to ringside and convince him to continue on with the fight. Poor Mo gets back up, shuffles to the middle of the ring. Fights valiantly before Barnett takes him down and locks in a Kimura, and Mighty Mo is forced to tap out. I gotta admit, seeing this fight, Mo did better than I expected him to. He actually, he dropped Barnett with a left hook, I believe. Knocked him down. He didn't really stun Barnett too badly. He just knocked him off his feet. But he was doing well for taking the fight on a couple weeks' notice. People are really kind of hounding Barnett for not really looking all that good.
But once again, a year and a half.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. He's been laid off for a year and a half. People dogged him after the Ivel fight. You know, I mean, Barnett doesn't have a super aggressive style. You know, he doesn't have one that's necessarily always very visually impressive. So, whatever.
Nope.
Interesting note, though, after the fight, Josh Barnett did let Mo kick him in the nuts.
What?
That's a sign of sportsmanship.
Yeah, he because they're friends, they're training partners, they train together. He let Mo kick him in the nuts.
Next week, one of our guests is going to be Sensei Joseph Hurt Sellers.
Okay.
Ohio Martial Arts. I have the most respect for this man. Okay? If he and I are sparring and I accidentally groin him, yeah, there's no way I'm going to let him kick me back.
You're clearly not. Oh,
man, be back. That's like crazy. Oh, I'm sorry. Poke you in the eye, Timmy. Go ahead. Poke me.
I thought it was great, personally. I mean, say you and Sensei Hurtsellers are in the middle of a fight in Japan, you know, in the ring, and you, like, basically sterilize him. Pretty sure my mom was never going to be having children. Come on, you got to give him some sort of concession.
I will apologize like no one's business. I am not letting him kick me in the junk, man. That's not happening.
Okay, well.
That just goes against everything as a man I know. That's like every survival instinct says no!
Okay. Alright, moving past the grind shots. KJ Nunes defeats Andre Dita Amato by unanimous decision. Oh boy, KJ Nunes is back, and he's back with a vengeance. Oh, Christ. Derek Kenny says KJ Nunes can die.
That's what Kenny says. But unfortunately, like I said, KJ broke his foot in that, so he's going to be out for about 4 to 6 months anyway.
Next week on the show, KJ Nunes.
Well, I can't make it next week. My leg. Can't make it to the show.
I had to have interviews with people we didn't maybe love.
That's right.
I couldn't stand 10 minutes on the radio with them. I would, no.
Still trying to.
What is this? Unprecedented towards the chicken shit, man.
Use chicken shit, for starters. And.
Okay.
just all the bullshit that went down between him and Nick Diaz. I can't stand the guy. I really can't.
He's not a born warrior like Jake O'Brien.
Exactly. Jake O'Brien's a warrior. Are you kidding me? Compared to KJ Nunes?
Yeah. He's not afraid to lose to anybody.
Next week's going to be the all-star show of KJ Nunes, Tim Sylvia, and Jamie Varner.
We call them and dog them and hang up. Is this Jamie Varner? I mean, what's going on? You suck.
Oh, God.
UFC champion Tim Sylvia. Oh, I'm not the UFC champ anymore. What? Oh, then who needs you? Click. One thing that is defend you is God. Kill yourself. No, I'm kidding. I would never say that.
Okay, all right. Moving on. Rio Shark Chonan defeats Andrews Nakahara by unanimous decision. A lot of decisions on this card.
Yeah. Yes, I wonder why I fell asleep.
If you fell asleep, you got woken up by this fight. Cole Escovedo defeats Yoshiro Maeda by devastating head kick. 2 minutes, 29 seconds of round one. This has got to be considered a surprise. Both these guys are former WEC fighters, maybe still current WEC fighters. Maeda, I believe, has fought Miguel Torres in the past.
Yeah, he has.
You know, guys, no joke, and Escovedo just ripped him with a huge head kick. And, like I said, that kind of broke the string of lackluster, I don't want to say lackluster fights, but, you know, this was the first real non-controversial finish. Next fight, Katsunori Kikuno defeats Kuniyoshi Hironaka by KO that punch. Yeah, the battle of the names with a lot of K's in them.
Glad yeah. You're doing it.
Beats him by KO punch, 1 minute 26 seconds of the very first round.
Excellent.
All right. And in our main event, Ikehisa Punk Minoa defeats Jimmy Ambrose, submission toehold, 2 minutes 42 seconds of round 2, continuing a streak of beating people much, much larger than he is. Now, Minoa's a character, man. I gotta say, you know, he's like the last remnant of, like, the Hoist Gracie beating guys three times his size era, you know?
Obviously, you haven't heard of BJ Penn, yeah?
Yes, I have.
You can't anyone, yeah? You tell Brock Lesnar he's a wuss, man. I'll take him, yeah, okay? He's not next to my jiu-jitsu. My boxing is much better than his.
Both of those are probably true. Brock wasn't three times his size.
Yeah. Brock smash!
What'd you say? You come here, boy. You goddamn foreigner.
I'm a guy. That's right. Because Brock Lesnar is the proud Minnesotan and believes the Hawaiians are all foreigners.
He probably thinks they're British with their flag, you know. Have you seen the
Hawaiian flag? Yes.
Probably like, oh, you're British. Yeah, I'm British, yeah. Punches him in the
jaw. That's right. Mm-hmm. See, now you're taking it too far, Gary.
I can't help myself.
Less is more, Kenny. Less is more.
I can't help myself.
All right. UFC on Versus 1 took place in Broomfield, Colorado, which they kept saying was Denver, so they couldn't make up their mind. Starting at the bottom of the card, Jason Brills defeats Aaron Schaefer by unanimous decision. Mike Pierce defeats Julio Paulino by unanimous decision. Brendan Schaub kicks the crap out of Chase Gormley by TKO punches, 47 Woo-hoo! Seconds into round one. That didn't take long.
Nope.
Schaub is awesome.
Man's no match for Big Country. But he can take down Gormley, for sure. All right. John Howard defeats Daniel Roberts by KO left hand from hell.
Times three.
Jesus Christ, that was brutal. That was an interesting fight because, I mean, Roberts was really, at least positionally, dominating Howard for the first minute and a half of that fight. John Howard throws a huge slam. That's when the momentum kind of shifts. And he gets on top and he just throws a left hand. First one puts Roberts out solid cold. Then he throws two more for good measure. I think Roberts is still waking up from that. And then, of course, in the post-fight interview, always classy, John Howard with the noose around his neck. That was nice. Sure, why not?
Okay. I wish I could remember the actual name of it, but Muay Thai fighters wear the headdress.
What's that?
It's a headdress, man, for a Muay Thai.
It's a headdress that looks like a noose?
Yeah, it was not a noose.
Maybe that's just me reading into it a little too much.
You think?
I ran around all damn week thinking that thing was a noose.
Oh, I'm dead serious, man. No, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a it's a traditional headdress that they wear over Thailand when they have a Muay Thai bout.
Why wasn't he wearing it on his head then?
I don't know. Maybe he just looks funny. I really don't.
Damn it, this is too big. You got the wrong size.
Look, it's a noose, though.
Yeah, it's a kick-ass looking noose. Okay.
A little bit of a side note. Isn't John Howard still undefeated in the UFC? He's got like 4 wins under his belt already, don't he?
Well, let me check. John Jose Howard.
Oh. Why are you asking us? I'm doing this segment.
Yeah, he's 4. Okay, I'm sorry. He is 4-0 in the UFC right now.
First two split decision wins. This goddamn advertisement is really chapping my ass.
Sorry?
Yes, he had 2 split decisions in his first 2 wins, and his next 2 have been by knockout. So, looks like we may be actually seeing him on regular TV. So,
hopefully.
Darren Elkins defeats Dwayne Ludwig by TKO ankle injury 44 seconds into the very first round. Ludwig kind of sad here, broke his ankle pretty bad. I'm not sure where it was from. Does anybody know? What's that?
No idea. It was a slam.
Was it a slam? Oh, okay.
Slam, and Ludwig, like a dumbass, put his foot down and just spent his whole weight, his opponent's whole weight, land on top of him.
Ooh, God.
He compared it to Theismann's injury.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Yeah. Ugh. God, that's terrible. Well, get well soon, bang.
Yeah. Or snap. That's your thing, maybe.
Yeah. Vladimir the Janitor. I got it. Vladimir the Janitor Matyushenko defeats Elliot Marshall by split decision. Sending
Elliot. Drive him out of the UFC.
Clay Guida defeats Shannon Gugarty by submission arm triangle choke. 3 minutes, 40 seconds of round 2. Good to see Clay get a win.
Yep.
And drives him out of the UFC.
Just retiring people left and right. Alessio Sicara defeats James Irvin by TKO eye poke. 3 minutes.
And drives him out of... Oh, wait, no, he didn't.
Not yet.
Just out of middleweight.
Yeah, he defeats TKO punch eye.
I did not get the chance to see Irvin at the weigh-ins, but from what Joe Rogan was describing, he looked like an anorexic Ethiopian, according to how emaciated he appeared.
I will tell you right now, it is worth going to MMA Weekly, ShareDog, whatever your choice of site is, to cover the weigh-ins and look at the pictures, and you will see it. He looks gone, man. I mean, Irvin looked deathly, deathly thin and unhealthy. And I do think it's funny. Again, this was It was the UFC's first card on Versus, big deal and all that. And Josh, our personal favorite of mine, Josh Rosenthal, was the ref for this particular bout. Now, I'm going to use some bad language here, so those of you out there listening to Radio Land who have bad, have sensitive ears might want to turn the radio down a little bit now. So Irving gets punched in the eye, not poked, mind you, punched
yes.
the knuckle in the eye.
And before that, Alessio Sicara was just straight picking him apart.
Yeah, he was just about him. Yeah. And Irvin's like, I can't fucking see, bro. Oh, I can't fucking see out my fucking eye. And the whole time, Josh Rosenthal's like, easy, James. Take it easy, camera. Easy.
Whoa.
Take it easy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, I just saw the, I just saw the Irvin pictures. Yeah, that's bad. Don't ever try making 185 again, Sam. Holy crap.
Oh, man. I thought he looked a little thin during the fight, but he looked 1,000 times worse than the weight.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Sorry. So Sicara punches him in the eye.
Yeah, he punches him in the eye and beats him. Irvin can't go on.
Kind of gets the night off to a rocky start. It was a legit TKO, and honestly, if the fight wasn't stopped in that way, Sicara was going to finish him off a couple moments later. I mean, there's no way Irvin would have been able to stop him. Sicara would have just bum rushed him and beat the hell out of him.
Right.
Probably.
But I mean, it's really strange because, I mean, like I said, this is just a case of it's so very clearly a punch, and it just landed just perfect, and, that
in
was
the
that.
Eyeball.
Yeah, right in the eye, and that's it.
KO.
Jake.
Eyeball. Ah, they should outlaw those punches.
Chick Congo. Chick Congo defeats Paul Buentello via submission, elbows to the ass. 15 seconds into round three.
It's funny because it's true.
I thought it was the thigh, but okay.
And even those of you Chick Congo was winning the fight. He was never in danger of losing the fight. Buentello looked like crap, and I'm not saying that's a dog on it. He just didn't look good. And Congo was on point.
Here's
and
the problem.
In spite of being on point, what?
The problem is I honestly think Buentello was preparing for a kickboxing fight. I don't think it was ever entered his mind that Congo was going to try and take him to the ground.
Oh, I agree. And Rogan said it before the fight. He's like, these two are not going to go to the ground. These two are not going to, you know, this is going to be a stand-up war. And Congo immediately shoots across and tries for the takedown, which Buentello is completely unprepared for. Now, keep in mind, in spite of the many takedowns, Buentello was doing a decent enough job of fighting off his back and getting up to his feet again, just to be taken down again. And Congo was still scoring points. However, he felt it necessary to at least one big knee to the face to a downed opponent, one very near crotch shot.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm surprised he didn't take an ear off. I'm surprised he didn't just bite his ear off, really, be done with it. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. And obviously before that, the fight was paused because of Paul Buentello dislocated his finger. The doctor managed to reset it, even though Buentello should have never gotten the break. Herb Dean thought it was a equipment malfunction, thought his hand got stuck in his glove, and that's why. But it turns out that wasn't the case. So Buentello got, I guess you could call it a little bit of a break, though it just led to him getting beat on some more.
Thanks for the respite. Now back to the beating.
Yeah, go ahead, get back. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, well, like I think this was just a case of Buentello preparing for one thing and getting something completely different.
Yeah.
And Buentello's never been golfing back. And I mean, credit to Congo. You know, he implemented a game plan that was safe and that was going to work. But the guy's just way too goddamn reckless. I mean, every fight he's in, he's throwing a low blow or poking someone in the eye or, you know, and in all seriousness, I don't think he's doing it maliciously. I don't know for sure. But, I mean, he's always doing it. This guy's just way too reckless. This is like, what, your sixth fight in the UFC now, seventh?
Yeah.
You know the rules. You should be able to kind of control yourself. You're supposed to be such a high-level kickboxer. Check your freaking knees, man. For Christ's sakes.
Exactly.
Junior Dos Santos defeats Gabriel Nubrao Gonzaga by TKO punches 3 minutes 53 seconds in the very first round.
Nepal before this fight. I can beat him so many different ways. There's no way he can beat me. I can beat him on the ground and standing. My kicks are important. He cannot kick. He will fall to me, everything.
Doesn't need a kick, brother.
Whoops.
Yep. Well, Joe Rogan was so fondly reminding all of us, you know, if you're really good at the one thing you do, that should be enough, and it proved to be enough.
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Junior Dos Santos has just proven that he's a destroyer. He's right on the cusp of title contention, and yeah, he pretty much walked through Gonzaga the same way he walked through everybody else, just running around him and just picking him apart and then just throwing a big punch and crushing him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. That's the fact, Jack.
And in our main event of the evening, speaking of crushing people, Johnny Bones Jones defeats Brandon the Tooth Vera by crushing, face-shattering elbow. 3 minutes, 19 seconds into round one.
Ouch.
Jones starts off the fight by immediately putting Brandon Vera on his ass.
Wasting no time.
Vera managed to work back up to his feet, but they did end up going to the ground again. You know, and I'm kind of surprised here. I don't know if it was Vera couldn't take advantage of this or he just didn't think to. It really did look like, you know, Jones was kind of keeping his arms out in front of him up on Vera's chest. Vera could have gone for a triangle. He could have switched over for an armbar. It seemed like Jones was leaving himself open for submissions, and I don't know if he was trying to bait Vera into something or if that's just the inexperience showing. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it was Jones trying to bait him, because after a little while it was a little obvious, because every so often Vera would kind of nudge his legs, kind of sneak that arm in, and then Jones would tense up. You could kind of see. And I really think it was kind of a chess match. I think Jones was baiting him. I think Vera knew that he was baiting him, but he was just kind of biding his time. He also probably didn't think the elbow from hell was going to come and
it was a chess match
him.
Where somebody gets their orbital socket shattered in the end.
Exactly.
Yeah. The best chess match ever.
Where's Dan Severn when you need him?
It's a chess match where at the end somebody puts all the pieces in the sock and hits you in the face with it.
Check. Bang! Oh, motherfucker!
Awesome. Yeah. So where's John Jones go from here, guys?
Tiago Silva or Luis Arthur King?
Jitter?
I don't know. I don't think he's quite ready for contention. He's definitely ready for a big step up. I would really be interested in seeing him against somebody, you know, of like a Rampage Rashad.
Yeah, you say he's not. You don't think he's ready for you don't think he's ready for title contention, but you think you should fight people who have been recent champions. Okay, I mean, you just think he's not had enough fights to be considered for title contention, or?
No, you can't say that. This is the age of Brock Lesnar, man. Where three fights, yeah, we'll give you a title shot, sure. One, two of the three, two out of the three ain't bad. I would just, I mean, personally, if it were me, yeah, I'd put him in there against a former champ, see how he does, and that would tell the tale. And then from then on, it'll be him versus, either Shogun or Machida.
Well, actually, it would either be, it would be Shogun or Machida. Well, I don't think him and Rashad's going to happen because they're training partners.
Well, that's true.
So I think we can strike that one out. Rampage might happen. Thiago Silva, I think, is a good possibility for his next fight, which I think he'd win pretty handily.
Yeah, maybe.
And somebody proposed this suggestion, and it probably wouldn't be good for him. But oh, and Randy Couture is also another name that's been mentioned, which would be interesting. And I mean, I don't know. How do you think that would go? I mean, because my gut says Jones would kind of clean up, but I don't know.
Jones, that would be a very good fight. I would be interested to see. I mean, Randy is real good with strategy, and especially with handling stuff in the clinch, which Jones likes to get in there tight and throw people around.
Well, that's
I think he'd have a hard time tossing Randy around.
I don't know. I mean, well, he tossed around Hamill.
That's true. That's
you know,
true.
I mean, and that's the thing is, it's John Jones is so unique because, you know, even if you have that awesome wrestling background, you can't prepare for being just judo chucked around like you're nothing. I mean, it's not like he's shooting double legs on people. He's grabbing them, and then he's basically just using their own momentum to just throw them violently to the ground. There's almost no way to defend against them. He's not muscling people to the ground. He's just basically tripping them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's been able to do that so far with the people he's been fighting. And, I mean, it's not like Brandon Vera used to fight at heavyweight. Matt Hamill's ridiculously strong. I mean, it's not like he's just throwing around weaklings. I mean, Jones is a big boy. But, I mean, it's not like he's just, you know, oversizing people.
Nope.
So, I don't know. I think he might be able to get Randy down just as easily as he was able to get down Vera and Hamill. I mean, this guy really seems like an X factor as far as, you know, really being something we haven't seen before in terms of takedowns and the ground game.
Yeah.
Another right. interesting suggestion that somebody brought up was John Jones and Anderson Silva.
No, I don't want to see that.
You don't want to? You really don't want to see that?
I don't.
Why
not? Because right now, because from a fan's point of view, I'm a tremendous fan of both these guys.
Yeah, so
and,
am I.
I would hate to just – I hate it when two of my favorite fighters fight, but – more than that, personally, I don't think Jones can beat Anderson Silva right now.
I don't think he could beat him either. I don't know. I don't think so. But goddamn, that'd be a hell of a fun fight.
It would. It really would. But again,
and honestly, I think that's one that would get Silva really hyped up. I think Silva could get excited to fight Jones.
Right.
because Jones ain't going to run from him.
No, nope. That's true.
So, but either way, I mean, he's obviously going to have a big. It's going to be a pay-per-view fight. It's going to be a big name, whoever Jones's next fight is. And if he wins that, he's got to be on a hot line to the title, and I don't see how he couldn't be.
Absolutely.
Especially if he wins it like he's been winning.
Yeah. I don't know. If he fights, say, Rampage and he ekes out a decision, I might see one more fight. But other than that,
I
agree.
It's going to be tough to finish Rampage. Although, I mean, yeah. Unless he breaks his face, I mean, no matter how tough your chin is, if, you know, something like that happens, you're done.
Right.
And he's shown, I mean, you know, John Jones is kind of fighting a couple people for the most vicious elbows in MMA. I mean, you know, even before the downward spiking ones on Hamill, he was really ripping him open with those things.
Spinning back elbow on Bonner.
Yeah, I mean, those things are lethal, and, you know, he can tear up anybody, and really that could, you know, like I said, that negates a chin, because if you get too cut up or you get something busted in your face, you're done. It's over.
Sure.
So, I don't know. We shall see. I'm really pissed that in the next UFC game that's coming out, frickin' John Jones, you got, it's gonna be one of the pre-order monkeys from GameStop. That really annoys me, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, before it was like Ryan Bader and Efren Escudero, like, okay, you know, new, just the Ultimate Fighter winners. That's fine. But this is,
yeah,
like,
that
you
makes
know,
sense.
If you want Big Country to be your GameStop pre-order, okay, fine, good deal. But this is, you know, this is a title contender now. This is a guy who's important, and I can't see them, you know, cutting him off.
Where a guy like Country is just not.
Not exactly. Yet, anyways. Give him a few fights. You know, if John Jones was one of the, if he was one of the people for 2009 that was a pre-order, I would get that. Now, he's too important.
I think part of it might be because they were doing the scanning and everything before even the Hamill fight.
Yeah, it could be. But,
you know, I mean, and even then, I would still think he should be on there. But
Nate Quarry and didn't use him,
which is bogus.
It's still so screwed up. I wonder if
that is such bogus.
I wonder if he's going to be in 2010 and they'll just never ever get used.
No, he's in 2010. He's on the list.
So we say. So we think he was on the 2009 list too.
That's true.
That would be awesome. We're going to have your sponsors and everything else there, but not you. We're going to scan you. We're not going to use you. Fantastic.
You don't really deserve being part of the game. It's just not the way it's going to work. Sorry.
Awesome.
Whatever.
All right. Okay, so that wraps up UFC on Versus 1. A good card. I think it's good showing. Yeah. Got off to a rocky start, but the last two fights really... you know, really made up for it, and then the undercard, the Howard Roberts fight, was definitely very impressive. So, it good show overall. Still not better than you know your WEC card, you know your average WEC card, but that was a good show. I'll definitely watch it again. Free TV, can't complain. And I gotta say, on this one, it seemed like there was less of the crap than there is on like your average fight night. You know, there wasn't
there was still the same annoying commercials over and over.
Yeah, there was
over.
A bunch of commercials, but it wasn't like there was no like Joe Rogan interviews, random celebrity, like random rodeo guy. You know, I mean.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's true. I like that a little bit better. So I'm looking to see how. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, ultimately, when you know the book is closed, I don't think anybody's going to see these any different than they did do the fight nights. They're just going to kind of lump them together, but still, you know,
right.
It's nice to have more MMA. All right, UFC 111, St. Pierre versus Hardin, March 27th, 2010, Newark, New Jersey, at the Prudential Center. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
Matt Riddle versus Greg Soto, starting off our undercard.
Riddle.
Yeah, probably Riddle again. Won't be able
won't
be able to drive by me on the Jersey Turnpike this time. I swear to God, that was him. That had to be him.
At least he didn't moon you.
He just leaned out the window, like gave like a big smile and two thumbs up, like the douchebag he is. I'll never forget that in my whole life.
He was like, "Hey, Scorcho."
Yeah, it's like, "Do you know me?" I didn't I don't think I had to tap
me on your show.
You know what? We got to get him on the show and just ask him because, you know.
were you driving down the Jersey Turnpike after UFC 101 and giving thumbs up to random people in cars? Because you drove right by my ass.
You drove by me. I saw you.
Pretty.
Come on now. Admit the truth.
Kurt Batman Pellegrino taking on Fabricio Camoz.
Batman.
Yeah, I'm going to go Batman.
Batman. Okay, Rusamar Paulhara is defeating or fighting Thomas Drawl. Whoops.
Paulhara, you can see the future.
I can see the future.
Okay.
Wait, who's Paulhara fighting again?
Thomas Drawl.
Yeah, go Paulhara.
Yeah, I'll be going Paul, blah, 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 blah. Thomas Drawl, 7 times. Oh, not a slouch.
No.
Well, so he had one loss in the UFC. So I don't know. I mean, maybe Drawl can pull off the upset. Who knows? That upset with Polaris. Rodney Wallace.
Possible.
Yeah, that's true. Rodney Wallace taking on Jared Haman.
Wallace.
I'm going Haman.
All right.
Let's shake it up a little bit.
Looks like it's up to me. I don't have a coin to flip. I'll go with Haman as well.
All right.
All right. Nate, ain't no bitch Diaz taking on Rory Markham.
Dude, how can you get Diaz?
This one's tough. Markham's a really tough guy. He's very underrated. This is Diaz's first trip back to welterweight. I really like Diaz, though. I got to go with my head, though. I got to say Rory Markham.
Really? Wow.
I got to. I like Diaz a lot, and I really want to pick him. And I hope he proves me wrong, but why do I like Nate Diaz?
Yeah.
Because he's a submission wizard.
Yeah, okay. Well, until he starts wearing the pointy hat. Be great.
I really like why. What is good about him? Nothing.
No, I mean, you can like him as a fighter, but he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, so is his brother, but they're still like amazing jiu-jitsu guys. So
sure. Okay, Shooter, who do you think's gonna win this one? Shooter,
did we lose him?
Crap, did we lose Shooter again?
We lost him again. Yeah.
Is he? Let me try and get him back.
Okay, actually, that was totally my fault.
No kidding.
Really?
I heard somebody call somebody Diaz a bad name, and I hung up. I was dumb.
Oh, I'm sure it was going home, Click. Who do you think's going to win?
Get out of here. You suck.
Who do you think's going to win, Diaz or Markham?
Diaz.
Okay. I think
it'll be a good fight.
Yeah.
I'm going with Nate.
Kenny, I agree with you here that Markham's a really good fighter, and that he is underrated. However, I mean, the lion's share of his wins have come by TKO, and the Diaz boys are notorious for just being un-KO-able, and technically, Nate Diaz's boxing is pretty proficient. So I think he'll be able to stay out of trouble on the feet enough to get the fight to the ground. And once it's down there, it's a lost cause for Markham. So I'm going to go with Nate Diaz here.
I hope I'm wrong.
I have no concern one way or the other.
I don't really care. It doesn't really matter to me.
No.
Okay.
Ricardo Big Dog Almeida taking on Matt Brown.
Matt Brown is another one of those guys that he's just one of those kind of guys that likes to fight from underneath. He just kind of creeps up the card, and you think, oh, yeah, he's kind of a tough guy. Matt Brown's a good fighter, but if Ricardo Almeida can get firing on all cylinders, he's got potential champion in his future. I really believe that, so I'm going to go Almeida.
Especially at welterweight. I agree with everything he said. The only thing is, though, is Brown has been on a tear since getting into the UFC. His only loss was to
Oh, God, I can't remember his name.
Dong Young Kim.
Kim, thank you. His You're only welcome. Loss was to Kim in a split decision. His one sort of Achilles heel is if he gets taken down, Almeida's going to rip him apart. I have faith he's going to keep it on his feet, though, so I'm going to take Matt Brown.
Brown, yeah, he has been on a tear since he, you know, showed up in the UFC, but this is against guys who are not the caliber of Big Dog. Pete Sell, James Wilkes, those are decent fighters. I agree with Shooter. If Big Dog can get, you know, everything together and all the pieces can fall into place, I don't necessarily know if he has future champ on him, but he's going to be one of those, probably he could be a top five middleweight potentially. I believe that. I don't know. I just don't see him, I don't see Brown getting the win here. So I'm going to go with, Almeida.
Okay. All right.
So there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jim Miller versus Mark Bocek.
Miller.
I'm going Miller on that one.
I'll go Bocek. Sure, why not?
Sure, why not?
I don't know. Bocek's been really ripping off some good, I think this is another guy who's underrated, you know. I think he's been pulling off some very strong, performances. You know, this is 6 fights in the UFC. He's won 4 of them.
Yeah.
No. His last 3 fights have been, you know, wins by rear naked choke. And, he's a tough, scrappy fighter who can really slip in and get the win when you really least expect it. And, I'll go with Bocek here for the upset.
Okay.
Jake Ellenberger taking on Ben Killabee Saunders.
I got to go Killabee, man. ATT in this one. Saunders, I think, has really improved his game. He's been looking really good. And he's received accolades lately from no less than Dana White. So I'm really thinking Ben Saunders is looking to shake some things up.
Yeah, as much as I like Jake Ellenberger and I think the kid has worlds and worlds of potential, Ben Saunders is just on another level as of late, so I got to take Ben Saunders.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with you guys. He's just been a destroyer as of late. Really some incredible Muay Thai. He's a huge for his weight. Just 6'2 at 170, that's a lot to deal with. And when you're throwing kicks and strikes, I mean, the knees he's throwing, he's barely got to lift them. You know, I mean, he can generate a lot of power in those knees just because of how tall he is. I think this is going to be a bad night for Ellenberger. And I agree. I like Ellenberger, and I do think the guy has a lot of potential. He had a very close, very hard-fought fight against Carlos Condit, who's no slouch. I mean, that guy's an excellent fighter, too. Went over Mike Pyle. You know, he's a very, very strong fighter, but I think Saunders is just going to completely overwhelm him. Mm-hmm. John Fitch taking on Thiago Alves.
Good fight. I'm going to go Fitch by boring decision.
Kenny?
I'm thinking still.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'll clarify mine a little bit while you're thinking.
Okay, thank you.
Thiago Alves, very strong competitor, hits like a mule kick. But I don't think his ground game, as it pertains to wrestling, is going to really be anywhere near where Fitch is at. I think Fitch will get him down and out-position him. I don't know that Fitch is going to do tons of damage to him on the ground, but Fitch is tough. He's got a rock iron chin, and I think he'll take some abuse to get the fight to the ground where he will just dominate it. And that's what I just expect. I expect some ground and pound. I don't think he'll finish Alves, but I think he'll hold him down and keep him there.
Yeah. Kenny, you ready? You done having
yeah, sure.
Hawaii? Okay, let's hear it.
I'm going to go with Thiago Alves for the upset. He's been looking really good against wrestlers that aren't named GSP as of late. Koscheck and Hughes, he looked spectacular. Before that, he looked awesome against Carl Parisian. And a lot of people will compare the first fight, but both of them were completely different fighters the first time they fought. Not to mention that, John Fitch hasn't looked the best since his loss to GSP. He had a close win over Mike Pierce. I'm just feeling Alves right now. So, yeah, I'll go with Pitbull.
I'm going with Fitch here. Fitch has also looked good against everybody not named George St. Pierre. And here's the problem. Alves is clearly his best chance is to beat Fitch on the feet. George St. Pierre beat the bejesus out of John Fitch on the feet for 25 minutes. And the thing that won him that fight was predominantly his ability to be able to out-muscle Fitch on the ground. I don't think Alves is going to be able to knock out Fitch, and he's certainly not going to have the ability to out-wrestle Fitch on the ground. I'm going to kind of echo Shooter sentiment here and go boring decision. I just think Fitch is going to be able to grind him out and get the decision win. He might be able to sneak in a submission, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Next fight for the Interim UFC Heavyweight Championship. Frank Mir will be taking on Shane Carwin. Oh, boy.
I look to Mir to win this in the second or third round.
I think a lot of people are really, really overlooking Shane Carwin right now. He's 11-0. He hasn't had a fight go out of the first round. I just want to say this sentiment.
He had a fight go out of the first minute.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to say this sentiment because I'm still going to pick Frank Mir.
God,
but,
that's insane.
But Carwin is a badass.
Yeah, I'm going to review the time on every fight Shane Carwin's ever had. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
Starting with his very first fight. 2 minutes and 11 seconds. Mm-hmm. 22 seconds. 1 minute, 31 seconds. 31 seconds. 29 seconds. 49 seconds. 1 minute, 24 seconds. 1 minute, 41 seconds. 44 seconds. 1 minute, 31 seconds. 1 minute, 9 seconds. I can't even describe how scary that is. I mean, granted, you know, say for Gonzaga, it's been against not terribly good competition, but Jesus Christ! Sheer happenstance would say that you would have to, you know, get out of the first round at some point in your first 11 goddamn fights. Somebody would have to run from you or something by then, you figure. Dear Lord! I'm sorry. Go on.
That's all I had to say. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we got one. So you're picking Carwin then?
I'm picking Mir still.
Picking... People are overlooking him. I'm going Mir. Jesus. I don't know. This is going to be on Mir. If Mir is looking past Carwin and he's overconfident because of his performance against Congo, his stand-up, basically, he finished it on the ground, but he really won the fight on the feet. If he comes in thinking, oh, I'm Frank Mir, I'm going to knock this guy out, he's going to get destroyed. He's going to get mauled, it's going to be really, 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 really bad, and it's going to end in a flash. It's tough because Carwin is kind of an X factor. We don't know how good his takedown defense is. We don't know how good his chin is because he just destroys everybody before we can find this out. I don't think he's certainly not going to have a ground game to compete with Mir, but he might have good enough takedown defense to keep the fight on the feet long enough to put him out.
As a wrestler, I would guess, you know, you got to remember though, Mir's trick is not taking people down. Mir goads wrestlers into taking him down, and then he works off his back.
There's no way in the world Carwin's going to take Mir down.
There was no way in hell Tim Sylvia was going to take Mir down.
Exactly. Dude.
That's all I got to say. No.
No, there's no way.
Do it. I guarantee he can. I'll tell you this. If Mir faints with a shot and comes and just backs up fast, Carwin will rush in. And literally, at that point, all Mir's got to do is fall back on his back, even if he's not hurt. And Carwin will engage him on the ground, and that could be the only opening he needs.
I don't.
That being said, the reason I'm picking Mir in this is strictly because there are so many X factors about Carwin, and I just don't trust X factors, man. I didn't give Mir a snowball's chance in the Sahara against Nog, and he won. The first time he fought Brock, I thought it was over within the first 10 seconds. And he managed, and granted, Brock helped him out, but he managed to pull off the win.
Well, that's exactly it. Brock helped him out.
And, you know, Kongo, I thought for sure Mir will beat him, but he'll beat him, you know, on the ground. He's not going to knock Kongo out. And he stunned him. Granted, he got him with the, he ended up winning with the submission, but he stunned him with the punches. Nobody saw that.
Yeah, but, you know, as far as Kongo goes, I think, you know, more and more as we see Kongo fight, I mean, we realize kind of I don't think Kongo was ever as good as people thought he was. I mean, that being said, it was still a great performance from Mir, and, like I said, I just don't see Carwin taking him to the ground. And I don't know how Mir's gonna get him down there. God.
Flying armbar.
Yeah, unless he, like, jumps guard, you know, pulls a Shinya Aoki and jumps guard on him or something. I don't know. This is a really hard fight to pick for me. Mainly because I don't like Frank Mir and I never want to pick him in anything. But the fact that I actually have to consider it here,
Hey, go with Carwin, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Frank Mir here just because of the fact that if it does, because Mir is passable on the feet enough to probably survive. But if it gets to the ground, Carwin has no hope at all.
Right.
That being said, if Mir does not get it to the ground within the first 2 minutes, 30 seconds of the first round, the first half of the first round, it's over. I mean, he's got to get it to the ground quick, or Carwin's going to obliterate him. If he decides he wants to stand on the feet and prove his stand-up skills, Carwin's going to maul him, and it's going to be bad, and it's going to make the beating Brock Lesnar put on him look like nothing.
Possibly. But again, you know, Carwin's cardio is such a question.
True.
I can't say that's bad. I made a joke online in one of the forums the other day that, you know, Mir for once, you know, could be facing somebody with worse cardio than him.
It's true. I don't think that'd be the case. But, I mean, that is a big guy to power. So you never know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And in our main event of the evening, one of the most anticipated fights of the year thus far, George St. Pierre taking on Dan the Outlaw Hardy.
Yeah, St. Pierre, pretty much any way he wants it. Nothing against Hardy whatsoever. I think Hardy's a great fighter. I think he's even now underrated. I think he's the best of the British fighters, bar none. That being said, I just
Lee Murray
his level.
Sorry.
Definitely
Lee Murray's got to get out of jail first. Jeez. The funny thing is I think I'm falling susceptible to countdown syndrome. I'm beginning to believe the hype I'm seeing on the primetime shows for Dan Hardy. And I'm actually liking him a lot more as a fighter as I watch these. But St. Pierre's Superman. he's from another planet. I don't know if there's anyone right now who can beat him without catching him with something. And Dan Hardy's got a shot. Don't get me wrong. Dan Hardy has probably a better shot than almost anyone to catch him on the chin. But I think St. Pierre's just going to take him down and beat on him for 5 rounds, unfortunately. So, yeah, I'll take St. Pierre by decision.
Yeah, you know, when this fight was first announced and everybody was like, oh, what the crap? Why is Dan Hardy fighting George St. Pierre? Even then, I thought, you know, Hardy's got an outside shot. Here's the thing. George St. Pierre is obviously incredible. But, you know, and this is going to sound silly, but mindset has a lot to do with it. And in Dan Hardy's mind, he's already won this fight.
Very true.
You know, he's already counting his money and he's already, you know, he's already a, you know, picturing the belt around his waist. I mean, this guy is so confident in his ability to win. It almost makes me think he knows something we don't. Like, he's that confident to the point where it almost seems like he's got one over on us. And he's going to beat him and nobody's going to see it coming. George St. Pierre obviously is going to be able to, wrestle circles around Dan Hardy. You know, the countdown, special that they've been doing, they did point to, you know, Dan Hardy does have an extensive martial arts background, yada, yada. That being said, there's still no way he's going to keep it standing for too long. At least not that I know of. Once again, maybe he knows something we don't.
He's got a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Well,
kept
you know,
secret.
Even if it's something as simple as just being able to time the knee when, you know, maybe he's got George St. Pierre studied to the point where he can, you know, time the knee when George rushes in and pop him with a knee. You know, maybe he's perfected that and we don't know. Something stupid like that.
No,
It could be something. I don't think, he's not going to out-wrestle him. I don't think he's going to defend the takedown and I don't think he's going to, out-grapple or, risk some, chance submitting George St. Pierre. That being said, I don't think George St. Pierre is going to be able to finish the guy. And when you have somebody as dangerous as Dan Hardy is on the feet, Thiago Alves is obviously a supremely dangerous guy, but his danger comes in being able to kind of steadily overwhelm you. He would just storm you with punches and kicks until one of them, got you off guard, and then boom, 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 and you were done for the most part. Dan Hardy has one punch, boom, it's over. That's always dangerous. And the fact of the matter is that if George St. Pierre can't finish him, which I don't think he'll be able to, I may be wrong, but I don't think he'll be able to. Dan Hardy's a very, very tough guy, and I think George St. Pierre's just going to grind him out unless he really specifically tries to look for the finish, which I don't think he was in his last few fights. I think he was just trying to get the win because the way he knew how, which is fine. But if he doesn't try and finish Hardy, there's going to be at least probably 5 of those 25 minutes where they're going to be on the feet. And George St. Pierre has proven that that one punch can end his night. And Dan Hardy's proven that he can end somebody's night with one punch. You put those two together, and that's 5 minutes where George St. Pierre is vulnerable to losing. I'm going out on a limb. I'm going to pick Hardy in upset of the year.
Okay.
That being said, if George St. Pierre wins, I'm not going to be at all surprised.
I hear you.
And, I'm kind of pulling for Hardy, not because I don't like George St. Pierre. George St. Pierre is an excellent, incredible fighter. But I just like to see variety in the division. You know?
Yeah. No, I completely understand. And, I'm not going to be heartbroken if Hardy wins either. I mean, it's weird because when I first saw this guy on the scene, when I first saw him fight Marcus Davis, I did not like the guy. I was like, this guy's a dick. I can't stand him. And after the Swick fight, all of a sudden, I'm slowly but surely becoming a Dan Hardy fan.
Yeah.
He's winning me over.
And I think, especially, is Shooter gone again? God damn it.
I messaged you.
I know, I saw that. Let me get him back. Jesus Christ, get a better phone.
Doesn't he have a BlackBerry?
Yeah, so what? I said, get a better phone, not get a better texting device. Are you there? Damn it.
Hi, you've reached Shooter. I can't come to the phone right now, but it's leaving me your name, number, and a brief message.
Okay, whatever. I guess it's just you and me. Okay.
Oh, we're almost done.
Yeah, and I think, and this is kind of something that's been kind of brewing in my mind for a little while, and mainly it was with the WEC, with kind of the hot potato title change situation in the bantamweight division, Miguel Torres losing 2 in a row now. The days of the god unbeatable fighter are coming to a quick end. People have been clamoring so much to see people advancing in martial arts, in mixed martial arts, people getting better in general at the craft. It's getting to the point where there isn't that giant gap over, with one person so much better than all the others. I mean, we're still seeing it in a couple of divisions, obviously, mainly UFC, BJ, GSP, Anderson.
Yep.
Once those guys are gone, I think those days are dead. The days of the and Fedor, obviously, when those four, right. When those four are gone, the days of the unbeatable champion are dead. We saw it with Machida. It clearly had some huge holes in his game exposed by Shogun. A lot of people say he should have lost that fight. Like I said, we've seen it with Miguel Torres. Brian Bulls managed to knock him out. And then people are like, oh, Brian Bulls must be super awesome. And then Dominic Cruz beats him the next fight immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Brown, same thing. Everybody thought he was going to be, the king of 145 forever. Then Aldo comes in and wrecks him.
Yep.
I just think the days of, the guy being, the mega guy being on top are going away, and it's going to get to the point where there's going to be 4, 5, 6 people at the top of each division who can all beat each other on any given night. Maybe that's not as good for business because you can't really build up a champion anymore, or at least you won't be able to, I don't believe. But I think as a, you know, as a fan, it makes it much more interesting. But at the same time, we as MMA fans in general need to start getting out of that mindset of, oh, well, this guy, you know, he held the belt once and dropped it. He must be a scrub and it was a fluke that he won the belt. We have to get out of that mindset. Because that's going away. The undefeatable champion, the concept of it is fast going away. Doesn't really exist in boxing all that much anymore, save for Mayweather, Pacquiao, you know, a couple rare people, you know.
Yeah, no,
doesn't really exist there anymore.
No, I agree. And, you know, I'm actually beginning to, I've been thinking this for a while, but, I think we're being spoiled right now with these spectacular fighters.
Yeah.
I really think right now we're seeing fighters that are once in a generation.
Honestly,
and we don't realize it.
No, you know, I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's to the point where these fighters are so spectacular because it seems like everybody else is a step behind. I honestly think, you know, a few, five, maybe 10 tops years down the line, there's going to be 4, 5, 6 fighters that are the level of GSP, that are the level of BJ Penn, because they will have been doing this since they were 5 years old.
Maybe.
You know, right. I mean, it's, you know, like back when Hoist Gracie was this undefeatable, unkillable monster, and he just beat everybody. That's because there was nobody at that level, because nobody had been training jiu-jitsu. Most people hadn't even freaking heard of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
But now that people have been, you know, training more and more, and they're literally training their whole lives, and not just, you know, jiu-jitsu or wrestling or whatever, but mixed martial arts. They're taking MMA classes from the time they're, you know, maybe not, you know, a kid, but, you know, 10, 12 years old, going all the way up, learning everything. And that's the thing, is mixed martial arts is so dynamic that even if a guy is a monster in one aspect, there's a weak link that they can exploit. I mean, if you're in boxing and you're an amazing boxer, what the hell is the guy going to do to you? Okay? But if you're in, you know, even if you're in, you know, mixed martial arts and you're really, really good at so many things, there's going to be a guy who's going to be better at you in one thing that'll be able to exploit that and defeat you.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, like I said, as MMA fans, we need to kind of get out of the mindset of, oh, this guy's unkillable, and then, you know, if this guy loses, oh, he's washed up, he's done. Because it's going to get to the point where even the best fighters in the world could be beaten by 2, 3, 4 other people on any given night.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, how many times have we already written off Randy Couture?
Exactly, you know. So, I mean, I'm honestly, I'm really, really excited to just see how MMA has just progressed in these last 5 years alone.
Well, yeah.
I think they're just going to progress even more in the next 5 years as far as the quality of fighters goes.
Well, yeah, we're kind of seeing it right now.
Yeah, already.
You know, we're seeing guys that just look spectacular. We're seeing guys who have so much potential we can't win. John Jones is 22, for crying out loud. He's 22. What is he going to do in 8 years?
Yeah, I was about to say, this is a guy whose career could go for another 10 years. I mean, easy. It could go for another 10 years.
You know, shoot, he's not even close to his prime. Gegard Mousasi, he's what, 26?
No.
27?
I don't even think he's that old.
Just what I'm saying is, like, at least 4 or 5 years from his prime.
I agree. So, I mean, there's some exciting days. And like I said, even as great as those guys are right now, there may be some people who come along who are just as good. Yeah, Gegard Mousasi is 25 years old. He's actually 24
God,
right
that's
now.
Young.
Yeah, he's 24 right now.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So, I mean, just exciting days coming ahead in MMA, folks. It's a good time to be an MMA fan, for sure.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I'm done, too.
Shooter's gone. Be sure to join us next week. We'll be going over UFC 111. Talking about many other things, I'm sure. Maybe we'll have a fighter or two on the show. You never know. And hopefully we'll have Shooter back in some capacity. So thanks for joining us. I'm Scorcho. That's Kenny. See y'all next week.
Peace.
Bye-bye. So long. Farewell. I'll beat his head tonight.
looking for something to represent your sport, but you don't want to look like another mall rat wannabe? Then head on over to TapperSleep.com. TapperSleep has serious gear for serious fighters and serious fans. While other fightwear companies spend their money on a big bust and funny costumes, TapperSleep spends theirs on their clothes, giving you stylish, durable gear that'll hold up under the toughest conditions. Whether you're rolling on the mats or rolling down the street, TapperSleep has a wide selection of t-shirts, hoodies, and hats for men or women. So head on over to TapperSleep.com right now and get your gear today. TapperSleep. Seriously. Good. Fightwear.